podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 and thank you for choosing to listen to our Blackburn Rovers podcast, Kidder Street Noise. Before we get into this week's episode, can I please ask you to like, follow or subscribe on whichever podcast provider you are listening to this episode on. It really helps the podcast and would mean a lot to both me and Lewis. If you want to get in touch with us or you want to be a guest on the podcast, then you can reach us on Twitter at KidderSTNoise. Feel free to DM us on there or reply to any of our tweets or your questions and we will get back to you. Again, thank you for choosing to listen to our podcast. Now let's crack on with this week's episode. Hello, yes, we are back. Episode 10 of Kidder Street. Now, I can't believe it's been 10 episodes already.
Yeah, I know.
How are you? You alright?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Yeah, alright. Alright, bit deflated from the Tuesday night's result, but it's been, apart from that, it's been alright. Yeah, we're recording this podcast on Thursday night, so it's only a couple of days after Rovers' 1-0 defeat to Cardiff away. But we're not going to start with that tonight. We'll start on a positive note. We'll start with the win against Millwall at Ewood on Saturday. I didn't go. I was out for a 30th. I was fuming because we're still in Spitfire at like R5. We were supposed to go in Manchester all day. And then like rail strikes, we couldn't go.
Train strikes derailed it.
I'll stop. The train strikes derail. Look at he's laughing his head off.
Shocking, isn't it?
It took us ages to decide where to go after that. We ended up in Preston. We didn't end up going until like 6 o'clock, so I missed the game on Saturday. How was it? You went, didn't you?
Yeah, first off was flat. there was nothing happening at all. I think everyone around us was kind of saying the same thing, like just going through the motions a little bit. Didn't really create a clear cut chance of memory. Rubbish really. I think in the lead up to half time, I think I said like this is the worst half we've played all season without conceding a goal.
Yeah,
this is the worst half we've played all season. But second half, they were a lot better. They came out a bit more energy, like started to press in the front, and then managed to get a couple of goals. Looked a bit shaky for a bit after they got one back, but we got it over the line. So yeah. I think I was working on Saturday night and a lot of people were saying that they went to the game. We were bad, but they were worse. And that was probably a fair reflection. But I think you've got to be pleased, aren't you?
Yeah, you've always got to be pleased to win at home. Millwall are a tricky team to play. I know their away form is not great, but there's still one of the fixtures you look at. I think it's an easy slip up, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is the difference? Like, why are we... There seems to be a lot of games this year, especially at home, where like first half have been poor. Like, I think like Bristol City, Stoke, where we concede right before half time, and it just makes a half even worse. Whereas if you can like have a bad first half and go in 0-0, it almost like sets you up for the second half. But is it something like the team's not doing, the players aren't doing? Why are we not playing better until the second half?
I don't know, because I know we're like not getting to Cardiff just yet, but you almost saw a similar thing at Cardiff where like the first half was completely shocking and whilst the second half weren't great, at least we had a few chances. So I don't know, are we becoming a second half team maybe? Who knows, but
after that win at Millwall at home, went up to sixth in the league, which I mean a lot of fans are getting frustrated with the inconsistency, but I mean how can you complain at being up there? I mean the league is tight. I think from us, we're now in seventh after last night's results, all the way down to Blackpool at 21st. There's only 6 points, 2 wins between us. So the league is ridiculously tight. Even the people above us aren't really running away with it. So we're only 6 points off the top. So to go from like 12 points from top to, I know it's only 12 games in, so it's early yet. But yeah, people are getting frustrated already.
People just take a step back and realise how much change has occurred at the club. You know, in the summer, new manager, quite a few senior players leaving. So you've just got to, you have got to take that step back and say, I know we're seventh now, but on Saturday, obviously, we were sixth.
Yeah.
You've just got to say, we're doing all right. doing a lot better than I thought.
Do you think it's like an expectation thing that people weren't being realistic at the start of the season, or
maybe because of like how JDT was saying all the right things? Maybe people got kind of like carried away. It's going to work wonders, you know. It don't matter if Diaz says it. Don't matter who we sign. It don't matter. It's JDT.
I think the first three wins didn't help either. Like being top of league after three games and
they're a big factor in it, I think.
But still, can't. I say you can't complain. I think watching the games recently, you've got every right to be frustrated and complaining. But as like you said, I think you do need to step back, take a look at the bigger picture, and just, we've said this before, just enjoy it, because the championship is going to be a roller coaster. Like, we've got like three games without a win, we could face some relegation. If we go win three in a row now, we could be looking at being in top two. So it's just going to be the championship all over this season.
You've got to take each game as it comes, haven't you, and just reassess after each game and just keep going.
Where did Ryan Edges play? So when the team got announced at 2 o'clock, we were watching Arsenal Spurs at Bridgewater. The team came out and I thought, I can see Jaime Ayala at centre back. Obviously, Kaminski at net, but that's obvious. Because kind of see like the midfield, Diaz, Rick Dolan and Gallagher up front, and the front three. Or did Gallagher come on as a sub? No, Gallagher came back to the starting lineup.
Gallagher started.
I just couldn't work out who was playing right back because there was no Britain.
No. Because he came back against Cardiff.
So who played right back on Saturday?
Well, when the team came out, there were a bit of like confusion because it's like, well, is Hyam playing right back? Is Hedges playing right wing back? I think Hedges actually ended up playing right wing back. But to me, it seemed an odd thing to do. I don't understand why, you know, when Hyam's already played there once a season, you wouldn't just move him across. I don't know. JDT, you know, he's managed. I haven't.
I mean, he's being very flexible with his lineups, and he's like going to a four at the back on Tuesday as well. I think that rotation is part of his philosophy, and he wants to keep everyone fresh. And I mean, at the start of the season, the players did look fit, but I think they're almost like struggling to see games out at the minute. Minutes in the blowing.
I've heard people like that have got connections with the club saying like they're training too much. You know, they've been overtrained, overworked, like training every day of the week or something, and that's why they look tired, you know, in these games.
I mean, is that because they had an easy ride under Mowbray though?
Possibly. I mean,
all the top teams like
behind closed doors, do we? So
I mean, all the top teams are going into training every day, even if you're not like physically training on the pitch. Like you're going and going on bikes and go through some gym work and get a massage or something like that. All the top teams do it. So if you want to aim to be a top team and get up in the Prem and stay there, that is the philosophy we're going to have to
do. It's like when you watch the Leeds documentary on Amazon, like you saw what Bielsa put them through to get into like, you know, a higher level. That is what you have to do, I think, isn't it? Particularly in this day and age when the fitness levels are so high.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if the players aren't happy with it, then I think JDT is just going to have to see them out and let them go. It can't be having player power again over the manager. Not something I support at all. Moving on from the Millwall win, went to Cardiff away on Tuesday. I was quietly confident on Tuesday night before the game. And I started watching it in the first half, like you said. Absolutely
just
dreadful.
Kind of drained the enthusiasm out of me, didn't it, as it wore on.
And then towards the end of the game, just every chance that Cardiff got, I just thought they're winning 1-0.
Yeah.
And then it was talking about, obviously, I think there was a graphic that came up where in the second half, we'd scored 4, conceded 10, they'd scored 3, conceded 9, and thought, there's no way of winning this game at all.
Well, I think like I messaged you saying it's a good job they can't finish. You know, the amount of chances they were having.
Yeah,
I mean they had quite a few in first half, didn't they? But particularly like, as the game went on and went to second half, you know, it felt like it was just chance after chance for them.
he should have scored in from Preston. Callum Robinson. Yeah, he should have scored. But the commentator were going mad about him. He thought it was like, yeah, it's Messi. Yeah. His free kick.
I felt like he was desperate to score because like this whole thing with Rovers in the past and like celebrating from the fans at Deepdale and all that.
He scored against us for West Brom and did the same celebration, didn't he?
Yeah.
But his free kick at first half.
That's about, I don't know if he's like a closet Burnley fan or something. Who knows, but...
He whipped it about, honestly, it was closer to my house than it was at net. The commentator was like, that free kick is inches away. I can't believe how close that free kick is. He's a different class at this level. I'm like, are you joking? Anyone can whip a free kick wide. Yeah. Like, not getting it on target because it was literally round edge of box. The one where he fell into the box and he like claimed for a penalty, but it's
better players in Sligan
than
him.
Oh, better players down on Pleasure than him. Including myself. I'll put the clips on of my passes from last week. And then finishing the game with the penalty decision. So, is the ref wrong not to play advantage?
As a Rovers fan, you want to say yeah, don't you?
Yeah.
But it's a tough one, isn't it? It comes down to a matter of bias. I think you're going to get Cardiff fans saying, oh yeah, give them the penalty, they've just scored.
I think the keeper's made a mistake. He's fouled him. If you give a penalty, you're giving the keeper a chance to make a save, whereas he wouldn't have had that chance in the first. And like,
I didn't actually think, even when I saw it on the replay, that it was a Stonewall penalty.
He just touched it past keeper and keeper headbutts him in the thigh. What did you think it was? When he blew the whistle, I thought, he's going to free kick here. Because that's usually like the case. Like, you hit a keeper,
I thought it would be a free kick.
Yeah. But then seeing the reverse angle, you must have thought it were a pen.
Not really, no.
But I
weren't sat there. Like, people can say whatever they want.
You weren't screaming for a penalty.
Yeah, I weren't sat there watching a replay and say, definitely.
Yeah.
I was like, certainly given, but
yeah, certainly not given as well, which just shows you the standard of the referee in the championship. But like, it showed the replay where it showed like they could hear the whistle when he blew it, and the ball is literally between Hedges and Dyke. So Hedges has already crossed it, the ref can see that he's got an empty net
where the ball's going.
Yeah, so why? I mean, I think like the time it takes for him to think, I'm going to give a penalty, lift it up and blow it, he's already made his decision, he's already given a penalty.
Yeah,
but if you just don't blow on that whistle for half a second. Like, if you just let it play out and then give the penalty.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, because we've had the two goals against Stoke, we had that as well, where one or two more touches in back at net and he's pulled it back for free kicks. Like, are they being told not to give advantage or what? Like, do they want to see more free kick goals, more set pieces? But I weren't confident when Hurst was stepping up to take it. I wasn't confident at all.
I couldn't believe it. It just didn't make any sense.
Did he take penalties last year at Portsmouth?
I'm not sure, but I don't watch Portsmouth for a lot of it. But I couldn't really believe it. I just don't know why.
I think when I think about the players that were on the pitch, it were probably like fifth or sixth in my choice of who would take it.
I'd probably have like Ayala on it over Hurst.
Yeah, Ayala would have popped ball. He's got a foot like a traction engine.
Shit. Did you see that?
But yeah, it's just, as soon as a graphic came on from Sky Sports as well, like, save none out of 10 penalties facing Championship, I thought, well, this is Rovers. I said, it doesn't matter if it's a Predator missile into the top corner, he's saving this easily because it's guaranteed now. We're just always that club. And Cardiff again, another team that has sacked the manager and got a new, either caretaker or a new manager in, and beat us 1-0. And it's going to happen again. Like Middlesbrough, a couple of weeks, they're going to beat us 1-0 no matter who they get in. They could get Mr. Wobby into the next manager.
We've already said that this week, haven't we? Like, as soon as Bard was sacked, like, here you go. Can we go over there and get beat 1-0, aren't we?
Should be able to complain and say, like, we just keep them until we play.
It's like two more weeks.
Give them two more weeks, lads. Like, when do we play West Brom? Oh, we played them at home already, so that's it. Because Bruce is going now, isn't he? So,
February when we play them away, I think.
Keep Steve Bruce till then. We'll be laughing. They'll be down and we'll be laughing.
Yeah. Cheers, that's a nice one.
Yeah, just, I feel like the performance were just absolutely brittle. Just making some stupid decisions all over the pitch. The one at first half, we kept it tight all half. And then, So the ball gets kicked. Did the ball get kicked out to Tyrese Dolan or does he intercept it? He intercepts it off someone, doesn't he? And the keeper's way off his line. Edges his through one-on-one, 5 yards in front of him, just slip him in, and he goes to shoot from 40 yards.
I was fuming me. But it's one of them, I sat on the couch and I didn't say it. Like, you know when you're that angry, you don't actually shout.
You just speak to yourself.
You start receiving. Yeah. Like, why has he not played him in?
But Hedges doesn't seem to react either. Like, if I'm Hedges there, I'm punching.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just
punching.
Like,
who were the two Rovers players at 49s? Is it Lasso
and Batty, weren't it? But I'd just be like, you've never scored for there. What are you doing? Give me the ball. I'm through one-on-one. Yeah. I don't... It's just, like I said, absolutely brain dead. And then, I mean, Smodic should have scored at 0-0 again, where Dolan plays it across and he hits it first time, keeps it, so he really should have scored. I'm trying to think of other examples of
that with that brains. Bad first, well, not really like a brains, but it was a chance nonetheless, wasn't it?
I think a match fit, playing lots of games, Dak just tucks that away, doesn't he? Definitely gets that end of his first touch anyway. Like the Gallagher one, so there was a shout for a Gallagher penalty where he shoots and then the guy catches him after it.
Yeah.
Why is he shooting first time on his left foot?
We were saying, if he just takes another touch,
he's already sliding. You can see him next to him. He led Sol Campbell. There's like just sliding past.
All he needs to do is take like an elephant's first touch. You know?
A usual first touch. But like, he's hit it first time outside the box. Is his left foot his strongest foot?
I think so, yeah.
That's worrying, isn't it? Been here about 8 years.
Does he have a strong foot?
His forehead. But yeah, just think, like, in that situation, sure, you got to track. Like, the clever players there, they just take a little touch wide, don't they? Take the contact, penalty.
Yeah.
Probably a red card because there's no one near the ball. Probably not. There's
no doubt about it. That's what you should have done when you look at it in hindsight. But
it just seems very frustrating. Like, I don't think. So I've seen a lot of comments on Twitter and stuff like, we can't play out from the back. It's not going to work. It's never going to work. You need to practice it somewhere.
Yeah.
And
there's a massive difference between. You can practice it on the training ground all you want.
Yeah, it doesn't matter though.
Yeah.
Like, training ground, you give ball away at the centre half, you just get another ball and you start again.
Yeah.
Like, if you give ball away at the centre half on a Saturday, it's 1-0.
1-0.
Yeah. Like, game gone. In Championship, teams can hold on to 1-0 lead and beat you. So, like, you can't replicate that match experience, and that's what people don't seem to understand. Like, you can work on it as much as you want in training, but until you're working it in the games and make mistakes, like, the only way you can learn from it is by making mistakes.
Yeah, we've got to be patient with playing out from the back, but I must admit, the other night when they just kept giving the ball away time and time again, it's so tough to watch. It really is, but
eventually they'll get it right, and even if it takes like a couple of transfer windows to get the players in that he wants them to play, like, Hayam's comfortable on ball, Britain's comfortable on ball and can beat a man. Like, he's obviously buying players to play that way. So what is the point of buying them players and kicking it 80 yards to Tyrese Dolan? Like, there's just no point whatsoever.
No.
And then just 12 games in, I just don't want to play this way anymore because it's not working.
Mm.
Like, we're 7th in league. How can you say the way we're playing isn't working? Yeah, we're giving the ball away quite a lot, but we're also creating chances and catching teams on the break and stuff. So it's working in some places and it's not working in other places. That's just... Like, if every manager give up on a tactic that weren't working in the first 10 games, the football will still be played the same way as it was 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, every single manager that's tried to install something new has messed up the first season. Yeah. Like, Klopp's first season. Don't get me wrong, I'm not comparing Klopp to John Dahl Thomas.
I saw someone on Facebook actually comparing him to Klopp today, and I thought, you know what? He's right.
First season,
things do take time.
Yeah. First season in Prem, like, finished 8th, didn't win out. Like, struggled.
Yeah.
Guardiola's first season, did he finish 4th?
Finished 4th, yeah. They were rubbish, really.
And then there was City fans saying, City fans saying, like, it's boring, this game, but I don't like it, don't enjoy it. And now, obviously, he already was probably one of the best managers in the world at the time.
4 Premier League's last 5.
Yeah. But, like, there's examples in the Championship as well. Like, you look at Russell Martin at Swansea. Like, last season, I think they finished 18th, because they were constantly giving ball away. Even when we played them away at Swansea, they were doing the exact same. But all of a sudden, it just clicked, and now they're 6th at the table with us, doing well. Like, 3 wins on the bounce. Like, it will take time. It might take a season. And, like, the thing is, right, Swansea finished 18th last year playing that way. We're not going to finish as low as 18th this season.
No.
So even if we finish 10th, people might think that's a disappointing season, but we're going to improve on that the season after if we keep playing the way we're playing. Yeah. But there is no point just changing it and then trying something else 12
games. You saw like Greg Broughton's comments yesterday that he said the January window won't be that big a window recruitment wise, but next summer, say if you do finish 10th in any of a summer like we've just had in terms of recruitment,
it's just getting them, three or four players in, and like every couple of, well, not every 6 months, like you can't buy 8 players a year, but it's just, but it can't just be recruitment for the sake of it. It has to be improving on what you've already got or it, like fitting that system. You can't
be suitable.
I think like a lot of times, like transfer windows, it gets that last couple of days and you just sign someone just to get the fans off the back, really, more than anything. Yeah. It's not like, oh, it improves us or he fits in the system. It's just like, oh, fans are more, we've not made a signing, so we've got to sign him.
Or you might be like a bit of thin in one position, you just think, oh, just get
getting for anyone in, kind of thing, so moving on from Cardiff away, we'll look at the Championship results from Saturday and midweek. So we actually watched Watford and Stoke in pub after football on Sunday.
Was that the
4-0?
Yeah,
Billich's first game. And just, I mean, Stoke poor. Spoke to a mate who supported Stoke this morning, said they're absolutely awful. They went 2-0 down and their heads just went, just give up. We beat Millwall 2-1, obviously. Norwich beating Blackpool away. Blackpool are struggling now, aren't they? QPR up to 5th. We had 2-1 win over Bristol City. And then Cardiff 1, Burnley 1. Late equaliser for Cardiff.
QPR have had a good start, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. Yeah, they're up to 4th now. They beat Sheffield United last night.
But they're almost like kind of in the same boat as Rovers. Will they be able to sustain it? Because they did the same thing like they were up with us last season.
Well, a lot of the key players are like quite injury prone, aren't they? People have said like they keep Willock fit, they'll be up there because he can win games on his own. But yeah, it's just like you said, it's just keeping him fit, really, isn't it? Coventry beating Middlesbrough 1-0, first win of the season. I mean, at last. We knew that as soon as they started playing at home, they started picking up results. And I think like, playing once every 2 weeks doesn't help them either. Now that they're back to playing 1-2 games a week, they'll soon fire back up there. They won't stay bottom for long. And then Chris Wilder got sacked. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I think they won like 3 out of the last 20 games.
It's not good.
It's like followed on from when he took charge last season. It's not just been the start of this season.
You saw it coming, but at the same time, he is like a big name at this level now because of what he's done with Sheffield United.
Yeah, you don't expect him to do that bad of a job, really, do you?
No, you don't. I think we've touched on it a few times, but I wonder what Lennon must be thinking.
I don't really care. Fuck him. Reading 3, Huddersfield 1. Can Reading keep it up? I mean, Paul Ince doing a hell of a job there, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then for the notes for Huddersfield, I've just put down full stop.
every week.
Rotherham 0, Wigan 2. Wigan up to the top half, and Rotherham first game without Warren's gone to Derby, hasn't he, the manager?
Yeah.
So it's a good move for him, really. I know the division below, but Derby are a massive
and club, Rotherham have got Exeter's manager, haven't they?
Yeah. Sheffield United 1, Birmingham 1. It's a bad result for Sheffield United. Sunderland 0, Preston 0. Preston, I've got another 0-0.
No one saw that coming.
For Sunderland, I've got 62% possession, 16 shots, and 2 on target. Now, why does that sound so familiar? Why does having lots of shots, none on target, and a high amount of possession make sense if you're, can you make the connection between Sunderland and Blackburn Rovers over the last 5 years? You can tweet us.
Let bygones be bygones, Rob.
No. No, I will not. Swansea 3, West Brom 2. They missed a penalty in 87th minute, West Brom. And then Obafemi scored in 90 plus 8 or something like that. Hell of a goal from Obafemi. Hull got him beat 2-0 on that Friday night game, weren't it? Off Luton. That sat the manager the day of the game.
Yeah.
Like they had a 2-week international break and then just sat the manager.
Strange, isn't it? Really strange.
At all. it's just a weird, very weird situation. But they've the guy they've got is what's he called? I've got it written down. Pedro Martins is called. Mm. It's like he's been at Olympiacos, won 4 trophies in 2.5 years. So he's like quite a big name. He were at like Vitória in Portugal before that. So not like a
well experienced then.
Yeah, he's not like a random manager that we've got from.
Not someone who's just like coached on the continent or something.
He's actually done something like
quite a decent CV.
Yeah. So moving on to the midweek games, Preston 1, West Brom 0. Preston just don't concede, do they? If they get a goal, they win. It's like running off with shirts off, like an 18-minute goal. West Brom, I mean, Steve Bruce has to go now. I keep saying it, but he does have to go.
Mm.
Burnley 1, Stoke 1. Stoke getting a late equaliser. Tom went to that last night. Said they played well.
I mean, that's 4 draws out of the last 5, isn't it, Dingles? So.
So people are saying we're inconsistent, right? I know, like, the form looks bad.
And you look at that form graph on that championship table there.
Yeah. So like,
it was consistent.
So we've lost one, lost one, lost, right? That's 6 points in our last 5 games. Burnley are unbeaten in the last 5 games. And they've only got 7 points.
Yeah.
So, like, it doesn't make a massive difference. Like, and I think, like, morale-wise, we'll probably have a better team morale. They're conceding last-minute goals every week.
Yeah.
That are, like, stopping them from winning games. But hopefully it carries on. I'd rather get beat last minute rather than draw last minute, but we'll take what we can get. Hull won 2-1 against Wigan. Middlesbrough beat Birmingham 1-0, but we out a new manager yet.
Mm-hmm.
Rotherham 1, Millwall 1. I've got no notes for that. That's the most championship result I've ever seen in my life. Watford 1, Swansea 2. So again, Russell Martin doing well. At Swansea, Watford, Billich's first home game. I thought they'd got off to a better start than that.
Yeah.
But it kicked off in added time. Did I send you a picture last night on Flash Scores?
I didn't see that, no.
So it came out like 17 minutes of time added on. And then in the 115th minute, someone got booked and a Swansea player got booked in every minute after that up to the 120th minute. And then on Flash Scores, a dot came up and said Watford penalty kick. And I'm like, what's going on here? So we're like looking on Twitter to see if Watford had a penalty and couldn't find anything. So I don't know why Flash Scores are just like, but the referee must have had just got some money in the kitty for Christmas party.
People at the Flash Score office like, no idea what's going on. Yeah. Like, just press penalty kick, think it's a penalty. Absolute Chris Kamara, like, there's been a red card.
Yeah, I think it's a penalty. They're all shouting at referees. It must be something. Referees dish about 4 yellow cards out. Reading 1, Norwich 1, that like the top of the table. Blockbuster. Ended up just being a 1-1 draw. Yeah, it's a good result for Reading.
Yeah.
Bristol City 0, Coventry 0. Didn't even bother writing notes about that. You can get lost. Luton 3, Huddersfield 3, which was the blockbuster. Huddersfield took the lead twice. Jordan Rhodes penalty for the second.
Yeah. Can't be taken. When you're down there, you can't be taking lead twice and dropping points, can you?
No, definitely not. Not and especially not away from. I mean,
don't want to be doing it, like regardless of where you are. At league, but especially when you're down there struggling.
Sheffield United 0, QPR 1. So again, you just mentioned about QPR looking good. It keeps Sheffield United in touch and distance for everyone else. Like you don't want one team running away from it. Makes it less exciting. Sunderland 0, Blackpool 0. So Sunderland had 63% possession, 15 shots and 4 on target and drew 0-0.
Let it go, Rob.
If you can find any connection between Sunderland this season and Blackburn Rovers the last 5 years,
he's done it again
every week. But yeah, just looking at the table now, like 17th league, there's not really many surprises at all apart from Reading. There's not really many surprises at the top end of the table. I mean, Watford, I know they're only a point below us, but you'd probably expect them to be higher up. And West Brom, I want to put them in bottom 3, definitely not. I mean, Coventry's an outlier because they've got 3 games in hand. I think they'll be out there by then. This field, just next to him, seen a bit, lads. Get gone.
I think we've got them on Easter Monday away from home, I think. Surely by the time we got there,
They'll be down.
They'll be a League One club again, I think.
Yeah. Plate mascot up front.
4-4-2, Rhodes, mascot.
Rhodes, Terrier Tom. Yeah. The mascot's called. FIFA 23 got released last week. You been playing it?
Of course. I was saying like before it came out that I weren't really interested in it, but I think like once you jump on for the first time, you're like, you know what? So have a do.
This is the best FIFA in years.
I think so, yeah.
It's actual football now.
I mean, the first few like games I was playing like an Ultimate Team, like obviously starting Div 10 on Division Rivals.
Yeah.
Like there's probably like some people listening to this like Dad, like he hasn't got a clue about it.
What is this bloody Division Rivals shit? Yeah, bloody on with
it. Starting Div 10, and it's like, oh, this is easy. Coming up against like absolute bums.
Yeah.
Like,
a full bronze team.
Full
bronze team and loan Terry Henry up front.
Making people rage quit and all that, but you go up a few divisions and you're like, I'm struggling to defend it. Like, I'm playing me a 5 back at the minute, so I just can't defend.
I'm playing 5-2-1-2. I think everyone's playing 5-2-1-2 this season, aren't they?
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got my ultimate team's 4 Rovers team, doing quite well. I mean, I got the Ryan Christie card as well from the Silver Lounge Challenges. So I've got him up front with Hedges. But yeah, it's just you can actually keep the ball and actually play proper football. It's not like I remember last year it was just like you could get Harry Maguire and Boro past everyone and put them in the top bin. Like, I think FIFA should be, if you try a skill move with someone who can't do skill moves, you should fall over and someone else should get the ball.
I like it because it feels like it's possible for no matter how you play, like you can play. You know, no matter what your style is, there is a way to do it. People saying like, "Oh, pace doesn't matter. This FIFA, you can't really use pace." Well, it's still important, but it's not like overpowering.
Well, you can. It's just like dragging them out so you've got the space to play pace. Like last season, it was just lob through balls and you were through one on one.
Yeah, LBY and goal, weren't it?
So, but yeah, I'm actually enjoying this FIFA. You play much pro clubs as well?
I haven't played any pro clubs yet.
There's like on Volta Football this year, like a little arcade, like Battle Royale games. They're absolutely class. Mm.
Well, thing is with pro clubs, like, end of last FIFA, my mates were listening to this now, like, what the hell? It kind of kicked off a little bit.
Because we the squad.
Yeah.
Royale dropped.
Bit of falling out, like. changing room bust up. It weren't good. I was in Div 1 and I was playing in any, and had a bit of a rut then, and ended up putting us in Div 4 it all kicked off, and I got overthrown as any, so.
Got Boyd out, Bruce out.
Jackson and now, so
is he any better?
We got back promoted up to.
So where are you playing now? Right back.
I've kind of took a bit of a back seat.
I'm going on COD.
Yeah, not really playing. Coming close to this.
Gonna put a career mode for a bit.
Get that Rovers career mode. So.
So hopefully we want to start doing some live streams of FIFA, maybe some career mode videos as well, hopefully in the future. But talking about FIFA, that leads us on to our top 5 section this week, and it is our top 5 football games of all time. I think yours will be different to mine, because obviously grew up in a different era, but
because I haven't really played any of that. You've got like one or two Championship Manager games, and well, that was kind of like muddied by the time I started playing video games, so it weren't really a thing.
Right, so do you want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
Go first if you want.
I'll go first. So top 5 football games. I've got LMA Manager 2005. Used to love LMA Manager. Could play a full season in like an hour. Just used to absolutely smash it out. I remember I used to play, but this is when I was really sad as a kid. I remember I had like a Borussia Dortmund career, and I'm really like, I would have been 2005, like 11, 10, 12, 11, when I won the league. I went downstairs and got my mum and dad's Queen CD and played We Are the Champions on my CD player. Bit tears in eyes. Next, I've got...
It's hard to choose
FIFA, isn't it? I didn't choose one FIFA. I chose like a section of FIFA. So
I did the same, to be fair.
So between FIFA 2010 and FIFA 2013 was my like best years of FIFA, yeah. I think. But I think it goes back to like when you could play it the most. So they're the years where I was at college and I had loads of time to play on Xbox and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're at FIFA 12. I had the... Oh, it would have been 2014 that had the World Cup Ultimate Team, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it?
Yeah. Still weren't the best FIFA, but that were a good... It was a good time for FIFA,
I think, like, everyone kind of talks about that between, like, 10 and 15, give or take. That was, like, the golden...
Yeah.
Gold, because, like, Ultimate Team was, like, in it, but it weren't, like... I enjoy it now, but it feels so big now, doesn't it? Like, there's that much on there.
Like back then, you could have a gold team and still compete, whereas now you need
Back then, you could have like a really sweaty silver team. Yeah. You get to Div 1.
Yeah. Right. But like now, you have to have like the foot freeze players and the player of the month and doing SBCs every day. Like, just trying to keep up with people.
I don't like SBCs, me.
I'd have Googling me. I don't even know what I'm doing.
No.
Google cheaper SBC.
Has gone submitting a bronze team.
Submit three players from the same league. Ed's got it. Give me a second. Let's just calm down.
Taking off an hour to do a bronze upgrade.
No, it's like Marcus Rashford. It's like 11 players, 84 rated and above. One United player, one can Aston Villa. I don't know. But I'm just like, I don't need to work it out. I just gave him the cheapest solution. Let me buy the players and have it done with. Yeah. But I think there's people that like con you for that. There's people that will say, so there's a TikToker, right, that I follow. It's called John Sims on TikTok. And he talks about like, the foot trading. So he'll do, if you buy this player, you can sell him for loads more, right? And every time he uploads a video, when I go and look at that player, he's like, so he'll say, you're buying for 1500, you can sell him for 4K, make 2.5K. And every single card will be 4K. I'm like, well, you're offering advice on TikTok, but they're just your cards that you bought. And people are going to buy them thinking that they're going to sell for more. But that's just you making money. That's just like me saying, you should buy the Ben Brenda Diaz card. Like, it's worth 50 grand. And someone just buys my Diaz card. Just doesn't make sense. Anyway, back to the topic. Next game, Champ Manager 2001-2002. People still play it now. Like, get updated databases every year and play this version of it. It's just so simple, so easy to play. Just
obviously, a brilliant season for Rovers as well.
Yeah, Rovers had a good team back then. Mm. But yeah, just Football Manager, it's hard to pick a top Football Manager. I think it goes back to you pick the Football Manager that you enjoyed the most. Like, you don't... Because obviously, even though they improve every year, they're so similar every year that it's hard to pick like just one.
Yeah.
So I remember, like, I think it was FIFA 18 where Salford were like first in the National League North, and me and Damon both did the same save, and we were both like 18 years in, like moving stadiums and stuff. And it when Damon had the sunbed shop down at Whiteburn. Yeah. We were like going there like every day and just when I were on my days off from shifts.
Playing footy managers.
Footy manager, like, people coming in like, I have 6 minutes on bed too. Like, yeah, go on. I mean, FA Cup final move.
Yeah. Last minute penalty. Yeah, like, shut up.
Yeah, shut up. Take your talk on the goal. Yeah, I don't care. Pro Evolution Soccer 2009. Again, it's hard to pick a good Pez because they're all quiet bobbins. But no, this one were good. This was when FIFA was unplayable for me. Like, before 2010 changed it all. I think FIFA was unplayable at this point. Changed to Pez. I think Pez, you could play the Master League all day and not get bored. Where I can't play career mode on FIFA and stick it out.
No, I struggle playing it like at all now. Because you've done it that many times.
Yeah.
I know like they make like small changes and like new cutscenes when you're signing players and stuff like that, just to mix it up. But
I mean, you've seen some of the bad stuff on Twitter. Like, there was one. Who did he sign? I think someone signed someone today and they were like two Lionel Messi's or two Jordi Alba's there to welcome him to training ground. It's so stupid like that.
Jordi 1 and Jordi 2.
Some of the glitches that I've seen so far have been class. You see the throwing penalty?
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant, that, isn't it? Well, someone said that Roy Delap 2009.
Throwing ball from Penny's top in.
Roy Delap at Britannia.
And then the last game of my top five was Jumpers for Goalposts. Do you ever play that?
Yeah, that's in my list as well.
Milesbreaker.net. Jumpers for Goalposts. IT lessons. Just like...
Well, I was thinking about Milesbreaker earlier today when I was like picking my list. And there was like one game I remember. I just couldn't remember the name of it, but I spent like hours on it.
What was it called? I just asked that. What was it like? What was the game like?
It was like a really dumbed down version of Footy Manager, like, but you just kind of sim the games.
All right, yeah, I think I know which one you mean. So it was like set up like Jumpers with Goalposts, but
kind
you
of
like
yeah.
a manager, weren't you?
Yeah, like I just saved like Barcelona, and it went to like 2040, and like Messi regen.
Like, were you not just called like Club Manager or something like that?
Might have been. I don't know, but. Yeah, that. I had to save it by Barcelona, like, won every game 8-0. It was class.
There were honourable mentions in there for like Roberto Baggio's magical kicks. Do you ever play that?
No.
Oh, you must have played Roberto Baggio. It's like the one where the arrow like tilts like you take three kicks and like, you cross it in. But I remember like, so it used to say in the corner, like, your top record were like 44 goals in a row or whatever. And like you cross it into like your mate at back post and he'd miss it and you'd be like, oh my God, how can you miss it there? You fucking shit, man. Oh my God. Yeah, good times. Right, I'll let you go through your top.
Right, I've got a controversial one at number five because some people will say it's not a football game. Yep. But got Rocket League.
Oh my God.
Is it not a football game?
Technically, yeah.
I'm having it. I don't care. What
I mean, it's a
says.
Good game.
It's a quality game. I've enjoyed playing it over years. I'm having it. I don't care what you say. Four, I've got Jumpers for Goalposts.
Yeah.
At number three, one you didn't mention, New Star Soccer.
Yeah.
The hours I've spent, like, it's so it's more than like, you go back to it every now and then, and you're just like, all your spare time in like 1 week. For the year, each year would just be on that.
It's like, just changed
it's so
too
addictive
much.
Now and again.
It's like when it first came out, like all the changed. Updates, like all the extra things that you have to do. I remember like when it first came out, it was literally just playing and training, and then like you get better and play again. But now it's like a dodgy man has offered you a bribe and stuff. Like
it's funny when you see people put that when Maguire has
a stinker,
A
shady man in a character offers you a bribe of 20 stars.
Travis for Cardiff on Tuesday.
New Star. I used to love New Star Soccer. But like, when I'm like, you go on an away day, like you were like playing like Ipswich away or something. Before you got to Ipswich, your phone would be dead. You'd be playing New Star Soccer up court, your way down.
Yeah.
Done about four seasons, phone's on fire in your hand.
Phone's on fire.
Battery screeching it back at full.
Oh, a good game though, and you'd like you get to a point where you're that good and you get them swerve boots, score about 300 goals a season. Quality.
Just like scratching full screen shag and it bends up. You just hit it right far wide. You get so good that you'd like
hit it corner flag, swipe it, top in that.
But you'd purpose that, try and miss it as much as you could.
Yeah.
To try and bend it.
Absolutely stupid that. Number two, Football Manager 2019. This is like the only... Why are you rolling your eyes
I weren't rolling. I'm trying to think which one 2019 was. What was the cover of it?
I can't remember the cover. Because they have an actual like, physical copy. Like, I just had like download from Steam. But that was like the only Footy Manager to date that I've like properly like played. And like I remember... Because I got it when I got my MacBook.
Yeah.
And that was like 3 months before my GCSEs. And like, I was playing it that much. I was like, right, if I don't stop playing it, like,
I'm going to fail everything.
No, that's what I was like. And I was like, right, I'm going to have to park it until I do my exams. And then, I had a Rovers career. Oh, it was just class. Won championship first season. Just, brilliant.
Football Manager is class.
I think... last game of the season, I can't remember who we had at home, but we needed to win the league. It was like 0-0, and like Armstrong scored in the 85th minute. Absolute sick.
Doing Angel at North in bedroom.
Yeah. And then the best like, football games, because I picked a period of FIFA like Rob, I've got 11 to 15.
Yeah.
11 to 15. I think 10 were good, but like that was like, I don't know, 10 was like the, that's when it started to get good, and that was like the blueprint for like good FIFA games after.
Yeah.
So
I always remember we went on holiday to Ibiza, like Damon and Matt and all them lot. And we there was like a copy of FIFA, no, in the hotel lobby, like there's usually like a PlayStation or something like that. There was like FIFA, which FIFA was it, where everyone was fat, like everyone was really wide.
I think that was 10, were it not?
Really baggy shirts, yeah. It was that one. And like, you'd see like all these people around the pool like with tops off and like drinking and stuff. And there were like six lads sat around PlayStation playing FIFA. And it was one of the machines like you put a quid in, you get 9 minutes. You had to put €2 in just to get like a full game out. Spent a lot too much money on that in Ibiza. Considering like you're one of the best party hands in the world. But it was like
sat there doing something you could do on for free.
It was like 2012.
So FIFA 10 into about FIFA 13 just come out.
So Robs are in Championship and we're like, oh, Robs had a decent team. We've got Gilles GV here at Matt Scott down, fucking class.
Dunn and Roberts up front.
I mean, Dunn looked right on that FIFA.
Hey, that's that.
Sorry, Dunn, if you're listening.
That is that's not on that, is it?
And again.
Have a word.
Oh.
Yeah,
is that all of them?
I thought 11 to 15 was like the golden age.
Pinnacle.
So, yeah, so to speak.
So, Saturday, got Rotherham at home. And Tuesday, we're going away Tuesday, innit?
Yeah. To be honest, I kind of forgot. That's been rescheduled for next Tuesday.
Yeah.
I even got, like, I'm checking if I've got it on. I'm like, oh, I'm not doing it, so why don't I just get a ticket? But I keep forgetting to get one. Yeah. So I think we'll end up going to that.
I might just pay out day, depending if there's like an increase or anything. I might just get a ticket on Saturday while I'm down there for the Rotherham game. They're two must-win games, aren't they? I mean, you've got to think every home game is a must-win game, but it's about time we wouldn't win away.
Yeah, definitely.
What else has happened this week? So did you watch the derbies on this weekend? Did you watch Arsenal Spurs?
Yeah, I watched both of them. Spurs, it was just like they going up to our time, they looked really promising, like going forward. You just thought, get the final pass, overhit or too short or behind someone. You just thought, you know, you're not going to get these chances for 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Under a bit of pressure now, is Conte. They draw last night, Frankfurt.
Yeah, thing is, like, you could see. Like Daniel Levy doing something rash and just getting rid of him because that's what he's like.
Yeah, I mean, you know what the players are like. If they're not happy with him training or whatever, they'll just sulk until he gets rid of him, won't they?
That's a problem in this day and age, especially if you ask Roy Keane or someone like that.
Well, Roy Keane's been linked with West Brom, job. We were at the Preston West Brom game last night.
Yeah, I saw that. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? I'd love to see Roy Keane manage anyone, to be honest, just for press conferences.
I just don't want to ask guy, though. I'd rather be in the studio with Richards. I don't like them.
So funny, aren't they?
Did you watch United City on Sunday?
Yeah.
Haaland's just a machine, just isn't he?
Unbelievable. I thought, because like, United had kind of turned things around before the international break, I was like, I think United will give a good account of themselves there. I was like, 1-1.
We'll finish 6-3, so yeah, we'll do.
Laugh if you want, but I mean, you know, there's been a lot worse predictions recently. That Chelsea fan, Rory, is he called? He said,
Rory Jennings.
Haaland won't get 15 goals.
Yeah, it's
that's.
What did he say? It's disrespectful to the establishment or something like that, didn't he, about Kane? What's and all
the establishment?
Realistically, like, how many goals could he, if he stays fit all season, like? And City, I mean, they're going to win one trophy. They'll probably get to the semis at Champions League at least. I'm not saying that that's the farthest goal. I'm saying that at least they'll get to that. Yeah. Probably get to the final FA Cup. So if he plays all them games, realistically, how many goals will he score?
This day and age, all them games, that's like 60 fixtures.
60 fixtures, yeah.
And you just can't see him going through a drought, even if he stays fit.
Yeah.
It's just, I think he could get like something ridiculous, like 70 or 80. Plus, maybe.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
It's just There's no words for it.
I mean, he took him off last night and he were on two goals. I bet he were fuming.
Yeah, probably were.
Need to make some room for match balls.
Yeah, even Pep's almost saying, like, right, mate, that is just getting...
chill out.
Yeah.
I love them tweets. It's like, right, we get it, Haaland, you can score goals back up.
Yeah. Oh, my name's early, and I score goals.
grow up.
There's a war going on in Ukraine, mate.
Grow up. But yeah, he's just top class player. And we said, didn't we, like, in Community Shield, they probably were getting pissed off with him and said he weren't latching onto end of balls and it won't take him long to get it right. And, but he just scores like any time. It's not like, so the one where De Bruyne whips it in and he like slides and lifts his foot up and taps it bottom corner. More strikers aren't getting that.
No.
They're doing that thing where they slide and make it look like it's close. And like, you know, do you know what I mean? Where they like, don't really go for it.
An attempt.
Yeah, but he's like,
to make it look like he's shot. Close.
Two inches forward.
Like, the conviction in that, it was like, oh yeah. Took that away,
but he just doesn't. He looked like a dad going down a water slide trying to tap that in.
like, Roger Martin Tower commentary, like a dad going down a water slide.
It's 2-0, get in. But his passing's unreal.
What a description.
Like, his assist for Ford in the second goal were just unreal.
Yeah,
I'm scared. Like, to get someone like really shit in FA Cup
there. Like Rovers.
If they get like Barnet in FA Cup there.
Yeah, it's going to be gruesome, isn't it? Absolute bloodbath, won't it?
Scary. He's like, a scary player.
It could, like, who did they play? Was it Burton they played in League Cup a few years ago with nine?
Yeah, nine.
Like, it could be done.
That semi final? For some reason, I feel like it was semi final.
It was too late. It wasn't like the first, like, the first leg it was 9-0 and like the second leg they won like 1-0 or something.
Just keeping it in corner.
Burton, like, if you're getting early goal, you never know.
So look at this. Burton, Man City.
I'm sure it were semi-final. Because
it was the year they got the record for most goals scored, weren't it? Yeah, 9-0 in the first leg at all.
1819.
10 aggregate. That's a killer line. It's about, it must be like, if you're 9-0 down at first leg, it must be hard to get your kit on for the second leg.
Yeah.
Second change room, watching like Aguero in tunnel getting ready. Just like, give me a break, mate. Yeah. Calm down. Champions League, have you watched any this week?
I watched, game that I watched. Well, not really. I had the Chelsea game on for a bit and then the City game on for a bit whilst I was playing FIFA, so I had that on in the background.
I need to go to City at one game just to watch Haaland.
Yeah.
I need to watch my Champions League games.
Especially when they got tickets on Uni Day, it's like a tenner.
For a tenner, yeah. I watched a bit of the Celtic game and then I watched the Rangers Liverpool game on Tuesday. Was it Tuesday?
What, when Rovers were on?
No, it must have been Wednesday then.
Same time as Rovers Liverpool.
Wait, last night, the Celtic kicked off at 4:45 and then I watched...
Last night with Chelsea and Man City, weren't it?
Yeah. I had footy training last night, I didn't even watch any.
Oh.
But like, some of the results are... Like, Club Brugge beating Athletic Madrid 2-0, Napoli winning 6-1 against Ajax in Amsterdam. I think there's like going to be a lot more surprises going into the last 16, and there's going to be a lot of big teams going into Europa League. Inter beating Barcelona 1-0. There's going to be a lot of big teams going into the Europa League after after the split.
Yeah.
Right, so there is no guest this week, but do you want to do the quiz anyway?
Hold on, something to talk about, something to mention.
I forgot about this.
So we're recording this on
Thursday night.
A couple hours after Rovers have announced that you will not have to buy a club travel ticket with your match ticket for Burnley away. So, I think it's a massive risk. Like, when you take a step back and, like, when you take a step back and look at the severity of the situation, is it really? When you take a step back and, like, take all that, the laddie kind of like bravado out of it, like, we're here, Burnley away, and all that, you think, this could be.
Yeah,
it could be disaster. So,
I don't understand it at all. I don't understand it because I mean, it's going to be a 12:30 kickoff, isn't it? The earliest that it'll kick off will be 8 o'clock, and it'll kick off at 8 o'clock, and it'll run all the way up to dinner time, and it'll be all over the town centre. So when, where are the police going to get like all the resources to deal with? Because it'll be kicking off at the ground at 11 o'clock. It'll still be kicking off in the town centre at 10:30. It'll probably be kicking off in Aki somewhere, because there's people drinking in Aki before they get taxed to the ground.
You haven't just got to worry about Burnley. It's like the surrounding.
Yeah.
And the thing is as well, I've seen a few people, like Rovers fans that live over there, saying like, you know, if they're like walking to the game,
yeah,
and like someone they know says something to them, and it's like, you know,
yeah,
and they're sort of, yeah, they must be, like, Lancashire Police must be really confident in their ability to control it. But how?
what the hell? Because police don't have any powers anymore. What are they supposed to do? Just batter everyone they see on the street.
I don't know.
Doesn't make sense at all.
I mean, I think
I've seen people organising minibuses, or like, where do you get a minibus to drop you off? Like, or how do you get a minibus
getting picked up after?
Yeah. Right. Just doesn't. I just don't get it at all.
I think the timing is really poor as well, because like fan disorder and like antisocial behaviour has gone up massively since COVID.
Yeah.
I would like to be like really cheerful about it, and like, you know, saying that it's a good thing because you don't have to wait at Ewood at like 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever.
It's one of them, like, you want to be excited for it, but at the same time there will be that worry in the back of your head, like what is it? Because like it's not just young lads going, there'll be like families that want to go, like they're going to get caught up in it. There'll be like families walking to the ground that are on their side as well, that they'll get caught, like a brick will get thrown at them, or like something horrible will happen where someone will get seriously hurt.
Yeah, my worry,
dickheads for years.
Yeah, that's the thing. My worry is something bad happening, and it being like a thing for years. Like, oh, they can't be trusted. Or the typical football fans, you know.
Yeah.
And I forgot what I was gonna say now, but I'm worried that. Yeah, Rovers fans will, well, both sets of fans will make a mess of it, really.
Yeah, they will. They will, and it won't just be the fans going to the game. It'll be the Tom, Nick and Harry out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm going to say I hope they change their mind, but apparently they're not going to. They've confirmed it today, so that's that, really, isn't it? Mm. People are going to start making out to it. I don't think there's any trains on. I don't know why, but... Not that there's trains running, but that just makes it worse.
I don't know about that.
Well, it's easier for police to manage if 1,000 fans get off at train station, they can just escort them straight to the ground. But if you've got 100 minibuses coming this way and everywhere, it's a lot harder to.
Yeah.
I mean, they just shut the town centre and just make sure no one goes into town centre. Like, what do they do?
That's going to be impossible to do. Right? It's like Remembrance Sunday morning, I suppose. There'll be stuff going on in town centre, surely. Well, you'd think. I don't know.
What's Pollitt said?
I don't really know Burnley town centre.
What's Pollitt said? I only go for coffee with Rebecca's mum and dad.
When I have to.
Yeah, when I get dragged. Well, to people watching Burnley town centre, like going to the fucking zoo. I've lost my train of thought. Oh, what's Pollitt said? Yeah. Like, Craven bus.
Right, so obviously, with it being no bubble travel, me and Rob get on the Craven Effort bus that Matt Pollitt runs to quite a lot of the away games, and he's doing a bus to Burnley. So I don't know why I'm asking, but
say like it's a weird day, like it's fucking 10 minutes down the road. We're M65 for 5 minutes and we're done.
I know, but like the thing you're doing it for rather than going to club travel is like, because you're going to pub before you get on coach, isn't
it? Yeah.
So you don't have to be stood like outside the door and for...
Yeah.
For God knows how long.
How long are we going to be kept back after the game? Because like the last few times we've been kept back, then shoved onto a bus, where they're not going to like keep us back for half an hour and then let us on the street.
I'm sure I heard something about how when Blackpool went there, they kept them back till about 6 o'clock. But that's 3 o'clock kickoff, so
yeah. But they were kicking off towards the end because they scored a lot last minute equaliser, didn't they? But, I mean, we're getting the full away end, which is good.
Are we?
Yeah, we've been allocated 2.2.5.
Is that what I stand at?
I thought that was only half.
But with the segregation, yeah, I suppose.
With the segregation on either end and the bottom, it'll be 2.5.
You might do like, sometimes they do like,
the corner
of it, where there's like a little, and then a little strip. Burnley fans in that bit. It's not.
No, they won't do that. They'll cordon off like the bit on the left side of the stands, like the long side end, like where the.
I tell you what, have you seen the ticket prices for?
Like 40 quid in Burnley, isn't it? Like, it's 30 quid for adults for us.
Well, it's like the posh seats. Do you have posh seats at Burnley? In that like
the plastic,
the oldest stand, yeah, the oldest stand that runs along the side.
Yeah,
with dugout side. It's 40 quid in the centre. The Paddy seats and all. 40.
So, someone's going to pay Vincent Company's wages.
I think
for his head moisturiser. Big headed bastard.
Head moisturiser. We don't have shampoo, does he? So.
So yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Right, no guests this week. Been let down. No. I have got a quiz. Do you want to do it anyway? Just get it out of the way. Because it won't be like applicable. Like I'll just ask you the questions.
It won't be applicable. Why?
It fits in with the topic of this week. So
what? Rotherham.
Yeah, a couple of Rotherham ones. So I'll just ask you the questions and you can answer them. Right, move around so you can't see. Don't cheat. We'll just do 1 to 10. You don't have to pick questions anymore. Same again though. 2 points for straight guess. 1 point for. Options. Right. Number one. Since a change to number ratings from star ratings in FIFA 2005, who has been Blackburn's highest rated outfield player?
What was the question, that, isn't it?
Some good ones.
Highest rated. Multiple choice.
Is it A, Rocky Santa Cruz, B, David Bentley, C, Benny McCarthy, or D, Craig Bellamy?
I'm going to go for Craig Bellamy.
No, Benny McCarthy. Bellamy was 82, Bentley 82, Santa Cruz 83, and Benny McCarthy 85.
Yeah. Generous word,
yeah,
well, good player to be fair.
Question two. Burnley weren't recognised on the game as our local rivals until FIFA 11. Who were our rivals in the 4 years version in the four versions of the game previous to that?
I'm torn between two. I'll go multiple choice.
Is it A, Wigan Athletic, B, Liverpool, C, Manchester United, or D, Bolton Wanderers? Oh, they're the two you're talking about.
Yeah, C and D, yeah. We've got D.
Yeah, Bolton Wanderers, correct. So you're on 1 point. Right, question three. What is Rotherham United's nickname?
The Millers.
The Millers, correct. 2 points, you're up to three now.
Wherever I dragged that from. Pull that out of my house.
Since it is FIFA 23, who wore the number 23 shirt before Bradley Dyke?
Danny Guthrie.
Oh, it's a shout, man. Where's he got that from? Where's he got that from?
That's good, that.
Right, question five. What was the unlicensed name given to Blackburn Rovers in the early versions of Pro Evolution Soccer?
Lancashire Blue.
Oh, incorrect. Incorrect. Oh, just Lancashire.
Push into it. Yeah, we were that like big.
Yeah, we were the only team in Lancashire.
We were that massive, yeah. Lancashire.
I had some good multiple choice. I had A, Blue and Whites, B, Lancashire, C, Rovers United, or D, Red Rose Rockets.
Red Rose Rockets.
Since the change to number ratings, oh, this is question six, by the way. Since the change to number ratings in FIFA 2005, which Rovers player has had the highest potential rating?
Highest potential. potential.
And if you get this, I will eat my heart.
Really?
If you get it, if you get it first time, you're not guessing. I will eat my heart.
Something proper that obscure.
Yeah.
Didn't play a lot of games and.
I don't think so. No. You'll remember him as a always player, but you won't think he's got the highest potential rating.
Well, it's not. Who popped into my head?
Go on, I'll let you guess. Who's in your head? I won't count it as your answer.
Well, Phil Jones popped into my head. Oh, yeah, it's not a bad shout, is it?
No, it's not a bad shout, but it's not wrong.
Because of how he came for it once.
Is it A, Morten Gams Pedersen? B, Dominic Mateo? C, Barry Ferguson? Or D, Jay Bothroyd? Jay Bothroyd. 93 potential.
93. Can you imagine him with a 93 card in all the team? Jay Bothroyd. Wow.
Barry Ferguson was 92. Dominic Mateo was 91. And Morten Gams Pedersen were 92 as well.
They were like, they were mad back in the day, weren't they?
I know, yeah. Like, if you played enough games with your team, if you played enough games with your over, they'd be world class.
That's that's crazy, I think.
Question 7. What was Yandal Thomason's highest rating in FIFA?
Multiple choice.
Is it A, 83, B, 85, C, 87, or D, 88?
I'm going to go 85.
I'm going to D, 88.
What?
FIFA 2007, we're at 88 rated.
Yeah.
Champions good League final year. Yeah, it is a good one. So, question 8. What are you on now? What have you got set right so far? So, you got the Jay Bothroyd one.
You got
Danny Guthrie 2. You got the Millers for 2. Yeah. Is that for 2? Yeah, 5. Yeah. And then you get the Bolton one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you're on 6. With 3 questions to go. In 2011, Paul Robinson was fouled in the box to give us a penalty whilst 3-2 down against Wigan, who converted the penalty to make it 3-3.
Ikubu.
Good shout. Right, 2 questions left. What was the name of Wigan's football stadium before moving to what's now called the JJB Stadium, now called the DW Stadium, in 1998?
DL. For my time, obviously. Multiple choice.
Is it A, Springfield Park, B, Lawyer Drive, C, Robin Park, or D, Wigan Walk?
Robin Park.
Springfield Park. Last question. So you're on 8 at the minute, aren't you? Right, last question. Yeah. Let's try and get you to 10. You won't get this right. But...
Well, do you know what?
wearing the number 23. Who appeared on the front cover of the game This Is Football 2003?
David Beckham.
No.
Well, you 23.
I had this game.
Right.
You must have played
this
it.
This Is Football 2003. Rob, I was born in 2003.
Yeah, but you must have played it. I kept it, so you must have played it.
Well, David Beckham was 23.
For who? Oh, for real. Yeah, that's a good shout, to be fair.
Didn't he move to Real Madrid in 2003?
It might have been January 2004. Got the choices. A, Rio Ferdinand, B, Nicky Butt, C, Kieran Dyer, or D, Steve McManaman.
Was it Steve McManaman?
I can't believe you don't remember this front cover. I'll show you. I'll show you a picture.
Rob, again, 2003.
Yeah, but you'll know it. I had it. I had the bloody game. Tiff, 2003.
Steve McManaman, he's an interesting commentator.
You don't remember that?
No.
What game?
It's obviously Kieran Dyer, isn't it?
Yeah.
But not that one.
Nicky Butt. Right, quiz is over. Thank God.
Yeah, thank God.
Right. So do you want to talk about the other bit of news as well?
The other bit of news?
Yeah.
Ah, the other bit of news.
Yeah. I'll let you talk through it. You obviously got the first message, so well, you go through it.
Yeah, but I thought like you've just kind of landed this. So I haven't really got anything prepared for this.
You don't have
to.
We'll just talk about it.
So on last Wednesday, I think.
Yeah.
I was approached by Daniel Ainsworth from Rovers Chat, and he offered us to what's the word? Not merge, but what's the word I'm looking for?
Join on their channel.
Yeah, join on their channel, like to go into partnership.
Yeah. Carry on producing the podcast on the Half Hour Rovers.
So the podcast will soon be being filmed once we've got a location for that. And yeah, we're all gonna have a great time.
Yeah, we're all excited by it. Clearly, as you can tell, that Lucy's speech, we're all excited by it. Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Positive thing for the future. So we'll carry on. You'll carry on hearing our voices, unfortunately. Hopefully more of you will get to hear it now. We've got the partnership with Rovers Chat, and hopefully more of you get in touch, get some more people on, and it is all hunky dory.
Mm-hmm.
Right, anything else to say before we go?
I don't think so, no. It's been a long one, this, isn't it? We've proper witted on.
Yeah. We are, I guess, as well, just us two chatting.
Yeah.
Mm. Right, okay, so we will be back, I want to say next Wednesday, but.
Yeah, hopefully next Wednesday, because I'm off uni on Wednesday, so. Yeah. If Rob, you know, pulls his finger out his ass.
It's not me, it's not me, it's probably the bloody guest. He's getting people on. People are busy. People got soaps to watch and House of the Dragon and all exciting things like that. Whilst we're all sat here chatting about Rovers.
Watch his Game of Thrones.
Thing is, though, when we're Rovers playing a Tuesday, you don't want to talk about them on Wednesday, so it takes you a couple of days to calm down. Takes you a while to calm down before you can talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we're back next week in video, I think, hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
And we'll see you all then.
Yep.
See you in a bit.
See you later.
Sports Social Podcast Network.